And then when we're looking at that, I think about us as church members. Are we close to God as a church member? Are we one of those that are out there in the uttermost and we're just showing up to Sunday school and church, sitting in the pew, and just being the person in the church house? You know, it's a very important thing when you get in the Bible and you start thinking about what a member of a church should be. And I want to find out this morning, because as I've said many times, every time I stand up here to teach a class, it's usually something that God has put on me that I need to work on, and he wants me to put it out to everybody else, because I know that I'm just like the rest of you. I'm a sinner also, as well as you are, and I'm sure we all have these shortcomings. Because there's nobody in this room this morning that I guarantee you can raise their hand and say that they do more than they should be doing for the Lord. Amen. So that's my thought on this thing. I look around at our country and see all the things going on. I've been listening to the messages. I've listened to other people. I work with another guy who is a pastor. I work with guys that go to different churches. And just the communications that we've been having, it seems as a lot of churches are having the same exact messages that we've been hearing here in the last few months. So it lets me think of something that it's on the minds and the hearts of Christians, of where our country's going and where we should be as Christians. And I tell you, the truth of the matter is, I feel that it is us as Christians that have allowed our country to get to where it's at. Because most of us have been sitting on the uttermost part. We're satisfied with the fact that I'm a saved Christian. I know that I can't lose my salvation. So that's good enough for me. And that's not where we should be at as Christians. You know, I gave my testimony here the other day, and I told you, I've been saved for 26 years, and I feel like a six-year-old as a Christian, and that's not good. You know, we should be more diligent about something that is this good, that takes care of our whole life. We would never have problems if we lived by this. You know, there's going to be general problems in life. We all have those. We're going to have sicknesses. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to have times that where there's failures take place. But none of those can go without an answer being right here. And you know what we always use last? This right here. We try to do it on our own, on our own, on our own, and on our own. And we make it worse and worse and worse, when all we have to do is go right here. It's real simple. But in a human mindset, we always do things the hard way. I don't know why we just don't understand that we can do it the simple way. So this morning I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 6. And what my thought is today is how we can have blessings from burdens. And it's very important that we think as a church membership as we go through this lesson, how this is going to fall together. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. We're going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 6. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. This morning I want to kind of do this lesson. I want to do a lot like Brother Junior does. I got to looking through this and wanted to pick out words and phrases because, like I said, in the last couple of months in the messages and the lessons, I've started picking up little words and phrases that have really been sticking out in my mind about the way things are going. Back in verse number one, I want us to first look at, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault." How many of you have ever had something in your life that has overtaken you as a fault? We can all say yes to that because we all have sin every single day. And the next part of that verse says that if someone is overtaken in a fault, what do we usually do when we see somebody do something bad? Automatically, we want to start doing this. We want to say, "Oh, I can't believe they've done that. I would never do that." Folks, we got to be careful how we say those things. Because at the end of that verse, it says what? Considering who? Thyself. Because you can also be tempted. And I'm sure everybody in this room has been tempted with many things. You know how I know that? Because we're all the same type of creature. We're all born with the same sin nature, and we all live in this old wicked, sinful world that's out here. There's temptations going to happen, and they usually happen every day. But I want to look really close to the little phrase that's just before that temptation. How should we restore that one that has been in that fault? In a spirit of meekness. Not the way that we do. We don't start talking about people, judging people, telling how we wouldn't do what they done. There's no way that they should have ever done that. That's what I want to think about. If we are the Christian that is coming to church and we're on the uttermost part of our life, we're that far away from God, that's how this happens. That's how we end up getting in these faults. That's how we fall, because we're so far away. Have you ever think about back to, I think in this the other day, back to the day that I walked forward in the church house. You know, I've told this, I've made a profession in my life at 10-year-old. Realized at 20-year-old, after I'd been married for a year, had a daughter on the way, that I really wasn't a saved person. I've been living a fake life for 10 years. I was trying to please people. If you're sitting in this room this morning, you're trying to please somebody in this room, you're wasting your time. There's only one person that you have to answer to about what your life is, and that's Jesus Christ. So don't sit here and say, "I can't go forward because somebody's going to talk about me. Somebody's going to make fun of me. I've already made a profession. I can't go forward in front of people." Don't let those things stop you, because this decision that you make for the Lord is very important. Amen. It's the only decision in our lives that's going to matter when this life's over. So don't let those things happen, because that day on a Tuesday night, we was having a revival. My mother sat on the third row at our church where I was attending. And I felt ashamed to walk out of that aisle because I didn't want her to know I've been lying for 10 years. You know, I sit there and I sit there and I sit there and I tried to stay away from going to that altar knowing I needed to, because I didn't want to offend my mother. But you know the thing is, she was the happiest person in the building when I made that decision, because she knew what I just got. And any of you that's sitting here doing that same thing, nobody in this building is going to be mad at you or talk about you for not coming to this altar. We're going to be the happiest people to see you make that decision. Amen. There's nothing more exciting to a Christian to be able to see another soul kneel here and weep and shed tears knowing that they've got that thing right in their life.
Amen.
So there's nobody ever going to be mad at you or talk about you for that situation. You need to get that took care of in your life. And I know it's been a burden on my heart for a while here, because I know there's a lot that's sitting in our pews that need to make that decision. And this morning I want you to think about you being that person that's on the uttermost. You know, people, if we don't, as Christians, get close to God as a member of this church, we're not going to see those decisions being made. We're all that far out there. God's not moving in our church like he used to, because we're not being the Christians that we should be in our church house. We don't come to church now on Sunday mornings looking to have a good Sunday morning service. We just come because it's a habit. We feel like we should be here because we're a member of the church now. We should show up. We need to get our minds and our hearts back to the way that we should be serving God like we used to. I remember nights that we'd come in here. I remember a Wednesday night for one that we come here. The Spirit was so, but there was 10 people, young people, that wept and wept right here on this altar for, I mean, we had invitation for almost an hour. You don't see that anymore. You know, it's not the fact that God's quit. God's not going to quit. He don't plan on quitting until he sends his son back. He's not done. But you know, the fact is, we've been done for a long time. We've not been acting like a church member Christian that we should be in front of all these young people that's in our room. We need to show these young people what we really have, so that's what they're going to want. I go out into the world today, and I'll go into Lowe's. I'll deal with contractors all the time where we're working on houses, and these guys profess to go to church, and then I listen to them have conversations, and it just blows my mind. You go out into a public place. I mean, I know you see it. I go in Lowe's all the time, and it's just unreal, the attitudes and the conversations that you hear as you just pass by people. I mean, they'll talk about things that shouldn't even be talked about behind your own bedroom doors. They're doing it right out here in public, talking about it, and wonder why our country is going south like it is. People are not ashamed of anything anymore. We go out in from the church house, and you see church members. They'll go out on Monday, and they're not the same person they was here on Sunday morning. And we wonder why our church is not growing. Why is people are not being saved? It's a very simple fact. I mean, it's us. As Christians, we need to be getting ourselves back to where we belong when it comes to serving the Lord. Verse number 2, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, I've always thought as I read this chapter of the Bible, why does verse number 2 ask us to bear one another's burdens? Then you drop down to verse number 5 and it says that you should bear your own burden. And it's kind of a thought that hit me, and I was studying this week, and I got to looking at this again last night, and I was thinking, you know, if I am to bear my own burden, but yet others are supposed to bear my burdens, what is that trying to tell me here? I think verse number 5, if you look at verse number 5 and you really study that out some more, to bear my own burden, that is the fact of what I was just talking about a few minutes ago, making this decision to live for the Lord. I have a burden in my life as a sinner that if I don't accept Christ as my Savior, that I'm going to die and spend eternity in hell. That's a big burden. But our world that we live in today don't realize that that's what's getting ready to take place. We as Christians have got so far off of spreading this gospel that most of this world don't understand nothing about this book anymore. Used to when I was a kid and you go to church, even if it wasn't somebody who claimed to be a Christian, they still understood that you should go to church on Sunday. They just had that mindset. That's what the world taught. You should go to church on Sunday. You should be respectful to other people when you're in their place of business. You should be have good morals. None of that's here anymore because we have quit. So this burden that it says here that for me to bear of my own, we're making it so hard for this lost sinner out here in this world to understand what they truly need. Because we as Christians are not spreading the gospel like we used to. They're going to have a burden that they're going to have to bear one day that they're not going to be able to bear. Because we are failing them every day. Then I look back up in verse number 2, then I look out here. And it says, bear you one another's burdens. If I'm living on the uttermost part of my life, away from Christ, how can I be the person that one of you would want to come to me and say, hey, can you pray for this? Help me in this because I'm having trouble here. I can't even help because I'm so far out there that it's not doing no good. I'd have to pray for 3 days to get myself back to where I need to be to help you to be able to pray. And that's not the way we should be living in our lives. I should be able to come into this church house and give my prayer request knowing that there's people that's sitting around me that's listening that's going to be able to pray for me. Sometimes I don't feel like that's the way it is in our church houses anymore. I think we give prayer requests, people just say the words and you go on about your business. There's no heartfelt to nothing anymore. We're not really concerned about other people anymore. We're concerned about me all the time. Everything we do in life anymore is very selfish. We're all about ourselves. This book tells us at the end of time that's the way we're going to be. We're going to be running around like crazy people, being selfish, not caring about nobody else. I just want my way. Look at our laws being made. Look at the people that's running our country. They want what they want. They're not looking out for everybody else. That's the way our whole nation's going. That's the way this book says we're going to go. But as Christians, do we have to sit back and be like the rest of them? We need to be different, people. There's nothing going to happen that's going to be different if we're not different first inside of here. And not only when we're different in here and we become different here, we have good service here, we need to take them out there. Because if we don't take them out there, nobody else is going to take them out there. The devil's already won that world. He's the ruler of that world. But if we're not going to do anything to try to make a difference, we can't expect those to be saved. Worse than that, I look in our church house and I think of all these people that I can see here that I know that needs to make that decision. I can't expect them to come here and make that decision if I don't live that way in front of them. If we all don't live that way, it's not one person in a church house that does that. We've all got to that point. We can all say that we don't do as much as we should do for the Lord. There's none of us in this room that say we spend as much time as we need to be spending. I can tell you right now, I'm the first one that's guilty. When it comes to this, when I get up and I go work for a 12-hour day and I come home, this ain't on my mind at nighttime. That's why I believe that we should get in this first thing in the mornings and make it a habit. That way we have this for the whole day. There's some days I go to work and I have the worst day in the world because I didn't have this before I left. You know whose fault that was? It wasn't your fault. It wasn't God's fault because this book's been here. It's available. It was my fault. If we want to be selfish, let's be selfish in that aspect. Let's understand that it's ourselves that's making ourselves get to the point we've gotten to. It's not the person that sits beside us in the church pew. It's us. Ourselves. We have to get ourselves to where we belong. Nobody else can do it for us. We have to do it. So in order to bear another's burdens, we have to be in the place that we can bear our own burden first. That way I can help bear others' burdens. I would love to be able to come in this church house at any given time and know without a shadow of a doubt if I have a burden or a prayer request that I need to mention in this church house, that as soon as I mention it, it's being taken care of. And that's the way we should be able to feel as church members in our church house. Verse number 3 says, For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. That verse to me is very simple. I look at that word think in that verse, and that's where our problem is. We all think that we are something when we're really nothing. There's none of us in here nothing without God. If we don't have him in our life first and living our life according to the way he wants it, we're always going to be a nothing. We need to get in God's word and become the something that God wants us to be. Verse number 4 says, but let every man prove his own work. You know, I think about our church membership when I read this verse. And I think in the Bible where it talks about many members, but we all should be as one. And I think about the makeup of my particular body that I use every day to do my work with. You know, if I had to go to work as a right-handed person, missing these 4 fingers, and try to do the work that I do now, I would struggle. I would struggle a lot. Because it would be hard to make yourself trained to go over here and do everything with this other hand that you're not used to using. Can you imagine today that something would happen that maybe one of your legs have to be took off at the knee and you're stuck either on an amputee, in a wheelchair, on crutches, and change your whole life in one day? I think about that as our church membership. When we as God's people quit, we're not doing our parts, where do you think our church is going? We've got churches that might as well be rolling around in wheelchairs because the legs aren't working. Or we got churches that might as well not even plan on going out and doing no building of no kind of structure of life because all of our hands have been cut off. What part of the church are you? You know, most of us sit in a church pew and we say to ourselves, hey, that's so-and-so's job. There is no jobs in here. It's all of our job to make this church go. I watched Brother Cliff come down here in 90-degree weather and clean in this parking lot for hours, where it don't look like he can hardly walk. And never have I ever heard him say anything about asking for help, anything. But why is he the only one doing that when he's down here? You know, I've seen many times you just walk down something as simple as a piece of paper laying right there on that floor. I've watched 60 people walk by that piece of paper. And I know in their minds they're saying, hey, we have a janitor here. They'll get that when they clean the church up. That's not the attitudes and the mindset we need to have in God's house. It's all of our jobs, people, to make sure that all this is being done. All of us have jobs here, and we all have to do that. Now, not only that, I want to say something about there's people here that have other talents that some don't have, and I do understand that. And I pray that God will help us all to see those and we'll actually use those more in our church because we need to be doing that. You know, singing, I look back in this crowd and I can see multiple people in here I know that can stand up here and sing for the Lord. but we hardly ever do it anymore. I look back here and I see people that I know used to be some of the greatest prayer warriors that I've actually had pray for things for me before. We don't do that stuff much anymore. We need to all be a part of the church. We all need to get into the innermost circle. We need to get off of that outermost part. We found out all through this book, all the last couple of months, every message, every lesson that we've heard, when you're out there, there's trouble. Yeah, if something happens, I'm going to tell you that you're still going to be a saved person being out there. But that don't make your fellowship be right in here. That don't make our church go the way our church should go when we're living out there. We're seeing young people die and go to hell because we're all still living out there. And they're not seeing no difference of us in here. That's not what we want. How many of us want to see our children die and go to hell? I definitely don't want to see that. To me, that's the greatest blessing I have every service when I come in here, is to be able to look and see my children and my grandchildren sitting on those church pews beside me. I don't want that to happen. I've got grandchildren that's growing up that I want them to see something different in me to where they make that decision. I have cousins, nieces, nephews. I've got a lot of family sitting in this church house. I don't want to see none of them not make that decision. But how do I make that decision easier for them? By what I do, how I live, how I present myself in front of all them. When it says to prove your own work, you know, that's very difficult. How many times do we like to truly tell ourselves, hey, that's not right that you're doing? I don't never want to admit that I'm wrong. I always want to be right. If you're truthful, you always want to be right too. It really hurts us to have to admit, hey, I'm sorry. That was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I was wrong in that. You know that word pride that we've heard for the last couple months? It's big right now in our country. Selfishness and pride, they go together really well. When I worry about me, nobody can do it as good as I can do it. I don't ever do it wrong. I'm sure if I asked you all that question, a lot of you are going to see something different than what you've seen me do compared to what I see myself. You ask that question about the rest of the people around you, and they're going to tell you the same thing as well. When we're living in pride and we're selfish and we're all worried about ourselves, we're not going to be that person that's going to be able to look at that and have somebody come to me that is in the fall and be able to talk to that person. I remember a time a while ago, and it's a person who's a member now of our church that come to me one time, and they said, I need you to pray for something because I can't, because I'm not a saved person. I need you to pray for this situation because it's really bothering me, but I'm not a saved person. And I had to tell that person, you know, the first thing you need to do is get right with the Lord, and then we'll worry about that other problem. You know how hard that would be to have to tell somebody that, though? But it's the truth. If that person was right, they could have been able to make that prayer on their own. But I was glad to be able to be the person that they come to and felt confident that they can ask me to be able to do that prayer. That's a good feeling. But not always in our lives that we're in that position where we're able to be that person. I want everybody that sits around me in my church pews to have confidence that I'm living my life, that they can confidently come to me and say, hey, I need your help right now. I need you to be able to pray for me on this situation. I need you to sit down and talk to me, and let's go through the Bible and let's look at some things. You know, that's where I lack at, guys. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have to do as much studying as I could to be able to tell you anything that I'm telling you right now, because I failed in my 26 years of reading and studying this book like I should. That's why I tell you, I feel as a toddler when it comes to being in my Christian life. I love to be able to stand here and be able to teach this book. But 10 years ago, when I was teaching Sunday school class every week, that's about the only time I opened my book. I would open it long enough to study out a lesson to get ready for a Sunday, and I would go on. And I felt confident that was good enough. That's not the way we need to live. If it wasn't for this book and for the Savior that I have, I'd be ready to leave now. I'm done here. This world has gone crazy. There's things that I deal with on a daily basis that I couldn't deal with if it wasn't for this book. We need to understand this is the only answer we have. So why are we not using it? We'll skip verse 5 since we just talked about that, but let's go on down to verse number 10. I just want to go to verse number 10 before we need to close here. I want to give you one more word. It says, as we have therefore what? Opportunity. This word is probably the most important word in this whole entire passage if you want to put it all together. Every day we have opportunities. Every day. And guess what we do every day? We let those opportunities just fly right on by. You've heard Brother Billy stand here many times and give examples throughout his EMS career and all those things of things that's happened, that there was opportunities probably there, and then the things went the other way. I remember just the other night, that's what made me think of this word. He was talking about the person that he should have visited on a Sunday and was going to go on Monday, and they had a car wreck on Sunday night, and he didn't get to go talk to that person. That's an opportunity. We all have those opportunities every single day, and we just let them go right on by. Folks, if we want things to be different, we are going to have to start being selfish to the fact of we need to start being different. Let's not blame it on everybody else in the church house why this is not being done, why that's not being done. As members of the church, it's our jobs to all work together as how many bodies? One. Everywhere you read in this book, it wants us to be like one body. We need to work together, not saying, oh, so-and-so should have done this better, so-and-so should have done this. I've done this many times. It's not the right way to do things. When you see something not done right, just go do it. Fix it. If there's trash in the floor, pick it up. If there's people that need to be prayed for, let's be willing to pray for people. Let's be right in our own lives to where we can pray for people. Guys, we need to start being a little bit selfish, but it needs to be in a different way than what the world looks at it. We need to start examining ourselves and understand where we are as Christians. And I want to tell each of you this because I love this church. I love every person in this church. I've had a great blessing the whole time I've been here. I moved here in 2008, and I've watched these men all sit here, most of the time not feeling well, hurting. I don't think I've ever hardly seen him miss a church service since I've been here. And I know he has a lot more pains than I have. That's a blessing to me. That's how I want you to understand we can get blessings out of our burdens if we all would work together the way that we should work. When I have problems and I know that I can come to my church and my church will help me in those problems, the blessing comes out of that because something good happens. And then I get a blessing. I get to come to church on Sunday mornings and see these men sit here every Sunday morning service knowing that they don't feel well. That's a blessing to me. to know that they're still that faithful. They care about this church that they're here all the time. Those things to me are a blessing. So it's not always that you have to look at it as a burden. I think we can take those burdens and we can use those together and we can all have blessings because of those burdens. God always promises that something good is going to come out if we're willing to take those to God. Don't try to do them on your own. We're all here together. Let's work together and do those things. Let's make this church be what it used to be 20 years ago. Let's see these young people come down here. Let's see them all come here and make that decision, have salvation in their life to where they can have those blessings when they have to go out in this world. The world that we live in, they don't need to be out there in it without Jesus, because they're not going to make it. And I'm telling you right now, if we as Christians don't get back to where we belong, we're not going to make it. The cares of this world are going to overrun us to where we're not going to be able to do as we should be doing as well. So let's start getting back into being the Christians that we should be. Let's be the church members that we should be. Let's be the church members that our pastor deserves for us to be while he stands here and labors behind this pulpit every service. We all need to work together that we're that helper. It's not just his job to stand here and preach and say, hey, you need to be saved. It's not going to happen if we are not in the way that we should be with the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit can't move if we're all doing the opposite things. I mean, we're thinking of the world out there, thinking of what we're going to do all week long. We need to come to church service to have a church service. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and we'll dismiss. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, we do thank you, Lord, for this church. We thank you for our opportunity to be able to stand and teach. And Lord, as I said, I always want to say that I ask for your forgiveness, Lord, where I fail you many times. And Lord, I do pray that you would help each of us to be more diligent in your work, that we could see our church grow. Lord, that we could see souls saved here. Lord, I do understand that when I look at this world, I know that it's us as Christians, Lord, who have failed. And I pray, Lord, that you would just forgive us and help us, that we would be more diligent to you. We love you, Lord, and we need you in all things. We ask this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.